Here we are on Monday the 16th of November 2009, very kindly invited by J.V. Smith to his house in Amberley to record some of his reminiscences of rugby. With me today are John Thayers. Shall I say hello, John?
Hello.
And J.V., and thank you very much for inviting us over.
My pleasure.
I think it might help if we took this fairly chronologically, although I'm sure we'll go off on diversions. So, would you like to tell us, JV, when you first became involved with rugby as a schoolboy, presumably?
Yes, that's quite... And oddly enough, for a Stroud man, it was Gloucester Rugby Club that was my first introduction to it. And I'm talking now about the early, very early part of the 1930s. I was born in 1926, and at the age of about six, I first went to King's Holm. I was taken by my father and mother, who did her shopping in Gloucester. My father would take me along to King's Holm. And the first game I ever saw was against Cheltenham. My father and mother had a great debate on whether that the crowd would be big enough to stop me going. And my father assured her that there wouldn't be more than just a couple of thousand people at King's Holm for the Cheltenham match. And he was spot on. And I remember being allowed to stand on where in the West Stand, which has now been taken down. But in those days, the committee used to walk up the steps from the front, from the playing field side of the West Stand, and go into the box, which was for them. And I was allowed to sit on the steps that went up into the box. My father stood down with his brother, Fred Smith, who had a butcher's shop in Westgate Street. I'll never forget that particular game because Di Walter, who later became, I became a colleague of his on the Gloucester Rugby Union, County Rugby Union, and became match secretary, followed me as match secretary of the county, was playing fullback opposite Harold Boughton, the Gloucester and England fullback. And he actually kicked the head ball ahead, and as Boughton caught it, Walter caught him and got sent off for his style of tackling, which I think involved a short arm. But I'm not quite sure of that, but of the details. But I used to pull his leg about it. My introduction to rugby football at Gloucester was seeing him sent off the field, which, of course, from that position, right in front of the West Stand, he had to walk the whole width of the pitch, of course, to the shed. And to the changing rooms, which were then on that side of the field.
Yeah. I seem to remember that I've heard that Harold Boughton had many good attributes, but speed wasn't one of them.
That's right.
Is that the way you would describe
that's
it?
That's absolutely right.
He probably couldn't get out of the way very easily.
No, he was a great kicker of a ball. In fact, had in his early internationals, which I think were about 1936, had a record number of points. He was a bus conductor, or was he a bus driver? Bus driver or conductor in the city of Gloucester. And he was a great kicker of a ball. And at the time that he was playing for Gloucester, an up-and-coming young fellow called Graham Parker, mm-hmm. Who went to Cripp School and then on to Cambridge and got in the Cambridge team. And, of course, there was no place for him in Gloucester with the England fullback, Boughton playing there. And so Graham Parker came across to Stroud, as they did in those days, if they couldn't get in the Gloucester team. They didn't want to miss out on decent football, so they wouldn't have gone as they do today. They stay in their local sides in Gloucester City within the bounds. But they came across, and Graham came across to Stroud and played a whole year for Stroud before he then, of course, took over from Boughton as the Gloucester and England fullback.
Yes, I think for some years the two of them boxed and coxed as both Gloucester and England fullback.
Yes, they did. Yeah. It was about the same period.
And how would you compare their styles as
fullbacks? Graham Parker was one of the first attacking fullbacks. He did a lot to stylize the idea of an attacking fullback. The old fullback, the Boughton type of fullback, the Di Walter type of fullback, was the hard tackling fullback who banged the ball into touch down the field. But now, of course, the laws have changed, and so they aren't in favour.
Who were the other players that you remember from those early days as a schoolboy at King's Home?
Right. In those days, as opposed to the post-World War II days when I was playing, Gloucester had a very strong back division. In fact, they had probably, they were better known for their backs than they were for their forwards. Where, of course, the wartime change then brought in the different style of football. Gloucester then became experts at the 10-man side, which are the eight forwards and the two halfbacks. And the ball never, or very rarely, got beyond the standoff half. Just after the war, was a man called Willie Jones, who was a Welshman, had a Welsh international. And Danny Evans, another Welsh international, at scrum half. And they just worked the touch and left it to the forwards. So the style of play changed, and therefore that my memories of people changed. In fact, I can remember well Fanny Edwards, Francis Edwards, who was now Wycliffean, who through J.C. Brooks, who was a master at Wycliffe College, brought him into the Gloucester club. And they were both England trialists. And Fanny Edwards just about was ruined by the war, really. Fanny, I'm sure, would have played a number of times for England as a centre three quarter, very good attacking football. And on the wing, of course, there was C.C. Tanner, who played for England and Cambridge on the wing, right wing, but lost his life during the war, sadly. And Bob Hook, Bill Hook's older brother, Bill Hook, the England fullback from Gloucester after the war, and my generation. Bob was the left wing for Gloucester. But also Gloucester had two other players who had England trials from the three-quarter line, three other players. One was M.A. McCandless, who was a master at Cheltenham College and played once for England in the centre. That Roy James, who played in various positions in the back division, standoff, half, centre, full-back, anywhere. And he got a trial, as I believe I'm right in saying, as a left wing. They were weak at scrum half, but they did have Don Meadows. He had an England trial at standoff half, Gene King standoff half, as opposed to the modern star, which is just get the ball moving quickly and run cover around.
Yeah. Don Meadows certainly seems to have been a great favourite of the King's yes. home crowd at that
yes,
era.
Yes, he was. He was very much. He was a great drop goaler. And I remember him getting a drop goal, which was 4 points in those days, and he did it from about 5 or 6 yards from the goal line, which is an extraordinary thing to do when you think about it, because, I mean, the obvious thing to do was to put your head down and barge through. But Don didn't. He jinked a bit and bang, over it went. To the great delight of the crowd on the shed side, I can tell you, who were then still the great names that they are today. Yeah. They were always great wits.
Famous for their repartee.
Repartee plus. And no hesitation. No, great.
Yes. So what did they say to you, JV?
I can't remember because I was concentrating on the game.
Good answer.
it's an important answer. I'll tell you why. People have often said, what was it like playing at Twickenham? It's very hard to answer. I wasn't really conscious of a vast crowd watching. And I think that's an important thing to say, because a lot of people get the jitters going out in front of 75, 80,000 people. Others don't. Yeah. And I can't really remember a great deal about crowds that I played against. What I didn't like playing events or in front of were two men and a dog. There's no atmosphere. You either enjoy the atmosphere or you don't.